Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I am your host, Frankie D. And today my guest is a master tailor, but better than that, an Italian master tailor, a genuine Italian master tailor, Orazio Cavaresi. Orazio, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. I would love to know, you have an incredible story. Where does it all start? Where were you born in Italy? What part of Italy were you born in?
I was born in Ofida, provincia di Ascoli Piceno.
Is that a small town, a big town?
That's about 10,000 people.
Oh, 10,000 people out near Ascoli Piceno?
Yes.
In Marche?
In Marche.
Okay. And how did you become a tailor?
At the age of 12, my dad, he had 8 kids. He didn't have enough way to send me to the school. I was the first one. So I started to trade at the age of 12.
So you were the oldest in the family?
The oldest in the family, yes.
So at age 12, he takes you, where does he take you for this?
He take me at least the 18 years old. And then.
And where did you go to learn how to become a tailor?
In Ofida.
Okay. Is it like a school or is
no,
it?
No, it was a little tailor shop, which we were 5 people all together. And the owner of the tailor shop, he was a tailor. He teach me one step at a time until the age of 18. And then at the age of 21, he came to the United States in 1956.
Okay. So
I was 21.
So let me understand this. So at 12, your father takes you there. The man must have said, sure, I will teach him how to become a tailor.
Right.
And you just, it's an apprenticeship, and you just work, and this man teaches you exactly how,
step by step,
how to cut a suit. Is that what they say?
I cut a suit after 20 years, 21, when I came to USA. I went to school here by Louis Travaglini and Michelin Avenue. He gave me, a school for cut it. And then at the age of 21, I worked for Oxford.
You worked for Oxford at 21?
Oxford.
Okay.
It was on Van Buren in Jackson.
Okay.
And I worked there for three years.
Okay.
And then after that, I went to work for Strayhorn.
Okay.
For 2 years.
Okay.
After that, I didn't have too much work there in Strayhorn. I went by Pucci.
You ended up by Pucci.
And I worked for Pucci 30 years.
Wow. Where was Pucci? And what was that, on a corner?
Pucci was at 333 North Michigan Avenue.
333 North Michigan. Okay.
Second floor was Art Words building.
Okay.
And we worked there for 30 years.
Wow.
I started as cook maker, but little by little, the owner, Pucci, passed away. His son asked me if I could help him to become,
to make a suit
for the customers.
Okay.
So after 30 years, I became a designer, and I knew a lot of people.
Wow. So, well, tell me this. Okay, I kind of want to go back a little bit. When you were, you're a 12-year-old. What are you even thinking, my father's taking me to this place, and this is what I'm supposed to do?
Well, that's the only way I could do, because my dad didn't have enough money to send me to school. So the best thing to learn the trade. My father, he had a brother here in Chicago.
Oh, he did? Okay.
And his mind was, he's learned how to be a tailor, he can go to USA.
Right. Because if you learn how to be a tailor, you can work anywhere. Correct? Okay. Was this I don't want to say common, but this was somewhat common in those days, correct?
Right.
I mean, there were young boys that went into this field and,
as a matter of fact, I wanted to become a mechanic. My right there said no.
Oh, car mechanic?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
My idea was to become a mechanic because I like more.
Oh. Why did your father choose a tailor?
Choose because he had a brother here in Chicago. He was a tailor.
Oh, he was a tailor as well. Okay.
And he said, well, you never know. My brother, he might call you back in Chicago. You learn to be a tailor.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense then. Yeah, that makes sense. So for 6 years, you go, I'm assuming 5 days a week.
Yes.
And
5-6 days.
Five, 6 days a week, every week. He obviously, he's not paying you.
No.
Right?
That's all in Italy?
In Italy.
In Italy, I didn't get to pay.
You didn't pay nothing. No. So you just go, you learn. Yeah. And then eventually, little by little, he would have you do more on your own?
Right.
Okay.
We have to be smart. The trade you learn to look at it, not to do it. To look at another person the way he does it.
Okay.
To steal his way to do it.
Okay.
And you do yourself.
Were there other boys learning as well while you were doing this?
Yes.
There were.
It's an art.
Right.
And if you have it, you could do it. If you don't have it, nobody can teach you. It's like any other trade. You take the singer, Pavarotti, there is only one Pavarotti.
That's true.
In the world. They study the music with the same books, but you have to have it in you.
Right.
Which, what I'm trying to say, I had in my.
Absolutely.
In me.
Right, right. Okay. So how did he decide when, okay, now you are all right, now you can go on your own?
I was at the age of 20, 21 years old when my dad said, now it's a time. Then my uncle, he through Oxford, they made a contract and they called me as tailor from Italy to USA.
Okay.
I came up with the contract.
Okay. Were there other Italians here,
yes.
Tailors?
Yes.
So the Italian people are known.
In 1956, they used to immigrate 30,000 people from Europe. Some of them were tailors, some of them were not. But when they used to go to Naples for the visit, they gave them the visa, even if they were not tailors. That some people they like.
Okay.
Just
to come here. I see. Okay. 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 So you worked at Pucci, and that's Michigan Avenue.
I used to work for Strayon for 3 years. They didn't have too much work, so I applied to go by Pucci. They accepted me as a coat maker.
Okay.
I worked there for 3 years, and then after that, the boss Pucci, Lawrence Pucci, passed away. His son asked me to take his place until he will find one better than me. But after 30 years, I was the best.
Wow.
The best one.
Okay. Tell me about some of the clients that you had.
I used to make clothes for the all rich people.
I would assume these were expensive clothes, yes.
From all over USA. As a matter of fact, Frank Sinatra used to come.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, O'Brien, Dean Martin.
So now you used to make the clothes for Frank Sinatra, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of a man was he?
He was a nice man.
Was he a nice man?
Yes.
Yes. So this is all custom suits.
Right.
What kind of prices were those suits? And now, yes, what year is this?
Well, 20 years ago, I went back in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And the age of 59.
Okay, so this was 1996. So you were making clothes for Sinatra like in the 80s or the 70s?
No, before that.
In the 70s, maybe.
I'm talking, yes, something like that.
Okay, so what would a suit, do you remember what they would cost?
That time it used to be a couple thousand dollars.
It was a couple thousand then?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that was a lot of money then.
Yes.
That was a lot of money.
But 20 years ago, we delivered one sport coat. To a person, his name, I don't know if I could say the name, Art Dizio, the sport coat to cashmere, $6,000.
Wow.
That's 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. Wow.
Without a pants.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So Frank Sinatra was a nice man.
Yes.
Okay. And you used to make it for Yul Brynner?
For Yul Brynner.
Okay.
Tony Martin.
Okay.
And a lot of new customer too, so.
Okay. So you enjoyed your work?
I enjoyed it very much.
And it was very interesting meeting
yes.
these kind of people. Yes. Okay. And then how come, so then you retired and moved back to Italy?
I retired because of the dairy art, it's dying out. And when I went to work for Pucci, we were about 30 people. 30 tailors.
30 tailors.
We used to make karate clothes. But after 30 years, I was about 2-3 people.
Wow, it went down that many.
It went down. There is no custom made.
That's a shame. Wow.
So it's a very effective. Chicago used to be duro, used to be a lot of tailor shops, but there is not too many now.
Okay, I see.
It's all over the world, even in Italy.
Yes.
It's like
that. Now, that's what I was going to ask you. You've lived in Italy the last 20 years. Do boys still become tailors, Italian boys?
No.
They don't.
No. It's only ready-made people. They do one thing and another. Some people, they base the lining. Some people, they sew the sleeves and the jacket. You know.
So it's like mass production type
right.
things.
Right.
So very few are.
There is no people they learn. When I went to work for Gucci, I was 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was the youngest in the shop. After 30 years, I still was the youngest. After me.
Because nobody came
after
you. There
was nobody after me.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yes.
That's a real shame. So yes. What have you been working in Italy those 20 years?
I do some suit for myself.
Okay. But nothing.
Best time a little bit.
Okay, but nothing for.
Nothing for the customers.
For the customers.
Because they can't afford to pay for it.
Right, right. Is Pucci still there?
Or is Pucci passed away.
Okay.
Son passed away.
The store is gone.
The store is gone now, yes.
Okay.
After almost 100 years.
100 years?
The same street.
Wow. Wow. Well, so, you know, it's true what they say. Everything eventually comes to an end.
I went there the last week. Close, everything's closed.
Oh, that's a shame. That is a shame. You very much enjoyed the career you had then.
I do, yes. I do.
That's great. Did you always have custom clothes for yourself or no?
All the time.
All the time you did?
Yeah, I do myself.
Okay. Okay. So all your suits were custom made and, oh, that's nice. Well, it's true. They don't, I'm sure there are still rich athletes, maybe actors, but not enough probably.
It's not enough. They go there, but they make the clothes like Archer. Like,
what do you mean
Strayo.
By that?
It's a ready-made. It's not a custom made.
Okay. Okay. I mean, there's very few that are going. I'm sure there's some, you know, a basketball player in Chicago that,
you know where they go.
I there has to be somebody left downtown that's still.
I don't know.
A suit today, a custom suit, what do you think it would cost?
$5,000-$6,000.
Maybe more, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why obviously it's just for the rich. So are the. The Italians were the best tailors in the world. That's correct.
Even if there is customers, there is no tailor
to do it.
To do that.
Wow.
Young people, they don't learn the trade because it takes time. And people, they teach you how to make a tailor, they don't pay. You have to pay like the school, like university.
Oh, there's not.
To learn the trade.
Oh, I see. There's no one to teach them
right.
to pass it on.
Right.
Okay. While you were a tailor, did you have any young people? You didn't, did you? That came to you?
Cause
maybe because you were here.
Not because it was here, but even in Europe, even in Italy,
it's
almost the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Boy, that's a shame. So can we still say the Italians are the best tailors?
They're best tailors, yes.
They are the best tailors
until
in the world.
Until yesterday.
Well, I mean, there must be some Italian tailors left, no?
I don't know.
I mean, in Italy,
where
you're at, there's nobody is.
In Italy, there is a little Rome baby couples tailor shop, but that's it.
And it's more for alterations.
Some for alterations.
Not so much making.
No.
Okay.
No, because you cannot afford to pay for that.
Right. Right. But you know, it's a shame if in Italy a lot of young people don't work. I'm surprised that they don't. You know, have maybe an organized school to teach young people to become.
That's really hard because a ready maker today, it's a very nice suit to them. Take Oxford. Oxford, they make a wonderful suit.
That's true.
So if you buy an Oxford for $1,000, why you have to pay $3,000, which Oxford is the same as $1,000-$2,000.
Right. And sometimes it's on sale and you get it for $600. Yeah.
I have an experience.
Yes.
the person who built the water tower.
Okay.
The owner, like I said, he bought a suit for Pucci to his son. He came the first time to try on. He didn't have time to come a second fitting. Or in the third, he left the suit. He never picked it up.
He never picked it up.
Because he was young. He didn't have no time.
Okay.
That's the end of the tailor shop. Oh. Young people, they don't waste no time to go to the tailor shop to try on the suit for 3 times.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, they just want
to
get it.
They go to the store and try on the suit that's already made.
Yes.
Short to the pants, the sleeves a little bit, and he goes home with the suit.
I see what you mean. Okay, that makes sense.
They don't waste no time.
No, they don't. Did you think of yourself as a master tailor?
Yes, I am.
You are. That's great. And there was pride with that?
No, I always say to be a tailor, it's like a good singer. He's a Pavarotti, he's got a good voice, and he's a good singer. A lot of people try to be Pavarotti, but it's very hard. I am one of them. I am number one. Not because I want to say I am.
No, I believe you. I believe you. Tell me about Dean Martin. He's one of my favorites.
Dean
what
Martin,
was that? What was he like?
He came assembled with the full glass of whiskey.
He did. He always did, huh? Okay. Did he treat you good?
Yes. All those people, they treat me nice.
Okay. Well, that's very.
Some people, they pay me even a trip to go meet me, like Art Nisio. He used to come and try on a suit with his personal plane.
Really? Okay.
And every time he used to come there, he paid me $200-$300. He paid me to go in Italy.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. Now, you had mentioned to me someone else, a very famous Chicago politician by the name of Jane Byrne.
Jane Byrne?
Yes. Tell me about Jane Byrne.
The first time she came, she became a mayor of Chicago. She came over to the tailor shop and she ordered a couple of suits, jacket and skirt.
Okay.
And I made it.
And you know how to cut for that as well?
Yes, I did. I did cut it for her.
Okay.
I tried on.
Okay.
And I delivered.
Okay.
So she was at. We used to make the clothes for her father.
For her father?
Mr. Burke.
Okay.
Our brother, Edward Burke. He was a lawyer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
How was Mayor Jane Byrne? Was she a nice person?
She was a very nice person.
She was, okay.
She was a little one, but she was not better.
Okay, okay. Well, she had to be tough to
yes.
to become mayor. That was a big thing back then,
yes.
To have a woman. I think that was around 1980.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was it difficult when you were working with, you know, Frank Sinatra, Jane Byrne,
no.
You know, measuring them, that wasn't anything.
As a matter of fact, Jane Byrne, when she came up, she looked, it was a beautiful hat, Italian hat, the Borsalino, and she put it on her hat, she won one. I had to take her measurement, I said, I'm going to measure your brains. Mr. Pucci would look at me and say, Orazio.
And how has life been in Italy the last 20 years?
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
I miss the USA.
Do you?
I miss it for a lot of little things.
Okay.
But for a pension that I get it, I live much better in Italy than here.
Okay. And you went back to your hometown?
Yes.
Okay. So you just went right back to your hometown?
I bought a house there.
Did you?
Wife.
Okay.
And my brother's daughter, she was 10 years old.
Oh, really?
And
10 years from, she was 10 when she left America?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She started school in the fourth grade with the alphabet.
In Italy?
Yes.
Okay.
And she became, she got laude.
Oh, okay.
She became a doctor.
Really?
Yes.
That's great. That's great. So things are well. And
it was really nice, yes.
Yes, yes. And you worked 30 years here in America?
37.
37 years as a master tailor,
yes.
An Italian master tailor.
I worked with the best tailor in Chicago.
Did you?
Yes.
So you had for Oxford?
Yarn.
Okay. And the gentleman in Italy where you started at age 12, I assume was, but he was a great tailor as well, that you learned great from.
Yes, I did.
Wow. I wish there could be things like that.
I hope so, but it's a really
good. It doesn't look good.
You can't take it. It takes a lot of years to learn. And then you have to have it in you. You can't teach it.
Well, I'll say this. It does take patience.
It takes patience. It also takes the hand.
Yes.
You become a lawyer, you have to be.
Now, I'm sure there are some that started at 12, 13, and by 14, 15, figured out, I can't do this.
Right?
I mean, it's a gamble going in. You don't know for sure that, you know, I'm sure your father didn't know. He hoped that this was going to be your calling.
Right. My father, his father was tailor, my grandpa.
Oh, he was? Tailor. Okay.
My dad, he started to be tailor, and then he became a bricklayer.
Okay. And I was going to ask you, you said you're one of the oldest of eight. Did anyone else in your family become a tailor?
One.
Brother?
My brother, but he never became a tailor.
Did he stay in Italy?
Yes.
Okay, and he become a tailor.
He worked in Germany, but he was kind of... what do we call in Italy? Tailor, second tailor, in other words.
Okay, so he wasn't maybe the one that would cut the suits.
Right.
He was below that.
He never learned how to cut.
Oh, okay. I see.
You have to have a special school in order to cut.
In order to cut.
Yes.
Well, sure, because that piece of fabric.
And not only a piece of fabric, you have to take the measure of the customer. The customer, each one is a different.
Okay.
So you have to do the cut the suit across all the ways formed.
Right.
Some people they have right low, some people they have
I see. Okay.
Lower. So all those things you have to learn and you have to have.
Plus, I would assume that this is a very expensive piece of fabric to become a very expensive suit, and you really can't afford to screw it up, right?
Sometimes you screw it.
But would you be able to fix it?
Sometimes
or?
You do, sometimes you don't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes I was a measurement, one of the doctors, he used to work here outside. His name was Rosa. And he said, Orazio, watch it, the way you do my suit. I said, doctor, I say, if I ruin the suit, I make a new one. But if you operate a customer,
and you screw up.
That's how you can make it up.
That's a problem. You're right. Okay, wow, that's great. Ho una domanda in italiano. Sei contento che sei diventato sarto?
Certo.
È stata una bella vita.
I had a sweat, but è stato molto difficile.
Molto difficile, però.
Sono molto contento. Sì.
Hai fatto
una grande esperienza di conoscere tutta gente. Alta,
sì.
Soldi, gente povera e gente.
Tante gente, tanti tipi di gente.
Tanti.
Sì, e ha fatto una bella vita.
Sì.
Benissimo. Orazio, thank you so much for the interview.
You're welcome.
And thank you for being such a tremendous representative of Italians.
I thank you.
And the trade, the tailor trade, and it was, you know, gentlemen like yourself that make Italians look very good and proud.
I am proud to be Italian. I am proud to be USA too, because I have two citizenship.
Okay.
Italian and USA.
And thank you. Thank you so much. And I was so happy that you're here in Chicago visiting relatives, and I was able to do this before you returned to Italy. So thank you. Have a great trip back.
Thank you.
And as we always do, our words of the show, our little inspiration. Today is, he who moves mountains begins by carrying away small stones, which is kind of indicative of the career of Orazio Cavarese. Thank you. And to everyone out there, have a great Italian-American day.